Rosie,
okay, I'm ready.
Okay, it is 7:02 a.m. We'll call the council order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take me a second. Pull up, I got busy talking. I know we need to take roll call, please.
Weigel.
Here.
Warwick absent. Romine.
Here.
Penrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
And before you should have the minutes from the last meeting. You take a, everybody had a chance to take a look at those. March 25th. Do I have any questions or concerns?
I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes as presented from Tuesday, March 25th.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Nicole, second by Bill, to approve the minutes as presented. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show sign. Three approved, one abstained, and Mayor not here. What she doesn't have a vote anyway. So. Next on the agenda is compliance with statement of benefits for peak performance. We've looked at this a couple, three times.
Yes.
Yes, there he is. There's. Oh, I'm sorry, he's hiding behind here. Would you please step up to the podium and state your name, please? And we'll see if we can get finally moving on this for you.
I'm Sean White. I'm the owner of Peak Performance. So I think this is our third year with the renewal of the tax abatement. I submitted all the documentation. I don't have a copy of that, of what I submitted. But as far as all the requirements go, I'm well above the requirements from where we were on the initial SB1. So I guess I was brought here today for any particular questions, I guess, that the board had on kind of where we were with that.
I guess we had one question that came up when it came for us the first time. The staff that you got here, does that include the hearing place, too, or is that just your staff?
That's just my staff.
Okay.
Yeah, the hearing place. I'm not sure how they have that structure. They have a full-time employee that's there most days of the week, and then they have the doctors that will come in certain days during the week. So, so that is separate from them.
Okay. So that would be additional payroll in addition to your payroll?
Yes, correct.
That this project is created?
Yep.
Okay.
And I've had two of my employees since the initial SB1 actually move into Willie County as well.
Okay.
So.
Any further questions? Rosie, any questions?
No, I feel he's in compliance with everything. So.
Okay. May I have a motion?
Make a motion. We approve the abatement for Peak Performance for the next year.
Second.
Motion by Ben, second by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show sign. It is approved. Those present.
Thank you
for coming in. It really means a lot to us to be
able to. Yeah, I mean, I understand. I think that's a good idea, really, to get on the
blue game. Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
The sewer rate presentation is going to be waived till next week. Or next, not next week, 2 weeks.
Next meeting.
We have Ordinance 2014-3, a key box emergency access system. It's going to be of our fire department. He is.
I asked Tom to get some information on that, so he ran to get it real quick.
Okay. So, what, to table that or to see?
Yeah, well, at least temporarily until he gets back.
Here
he
is.
Here
he is.
There's the man, right?
Is he
going to
read that whole book?
Yes, he's going to read the whole book.
There. Yeah.
Okay, because I was getting ready to jump to our other situation right away. If he wasn't.
You want to read it by
title? Yes, I was getting ready to. I need Rosie to read that by title only, so I
make a motion. We're read ordinance 2014-3 by title only.
Second.
I have a motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. All those in favor, show sign. As approved, are those present?
Ordinance 2014-3, an ordinance requiring the installation of a key box emergency access system for use by the Columbia City Fire Department during an emergency or any other action deemed necessary by the Columbia City Fire Department, and adding key box emergency access systems to Chapter 94 of the Municipal Code of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Wow. Mr. LaRue, care to explain some of this, please?
I'm going to try. And Marcia, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm dealing with Chris, and he's in Florida, and he's kind of given me a little bit of the background on this. The code, the fire code in itself, has a requirement for Knox boxes. However, it's a very vague, very hard to interpret code that basically says from the time that the code or the law was written till now, any building that was built from that time frame till now would have to comply with the Knox box requirement. But then you have to go and find out when the law was written, and then you also have to find out when the building was built to know whether it complies with the current code. What we're saying is I believe there's a date attached. Is that not correct? I read this, but I slept since then. We're saying from that date till now, if the building was built, so we have a specific date set. From that date till now is when we're going to say that code will be enforceable to any current existing building with a sprinkler system or an alarm system inside of it. Chris said he's contacted Mara Snyder, the state's attorney, and was very confused by, and she was not even real clear on exactly when that would be under the current code, when the exact dates were for enforceability. I know. Am I being clear with this? So we're saying, and we've taken this from several cities, we're saying here's the date that we're saying is going to be the enforceable date. Is that the same?
April 30th, 98 is what you've got.
Is that pretty much the same thing that Chris explained in reference to that?
That he explained to me. We were confused on what the state was telling us, but yes, I mean, this is what we came up with.
Right.
From the regs.
Correct.
Not from our own desire, but from the regs.
So the requirement to put a Knox box on a building then is covered by state statute. However, the time frame is kind of fuzzy, and this
Correct.
Is an effort to clean that up so it's enforceable.
Correct.
That answers my question I had of you then.
How many do we currently have lock boxes on? Are some of these facilities currently? I mean,
there are a lot of facilities that already have the Knox boxes in place on their buildings. Not all of them that you don't have to have a sprinkler system or an alarm system to have a Knox box. Any building can put them on. But a lot of them that are in the city limits that already have those systems in place have them. Not all of them, but I would say 95% of our buildings inside the city limits are compliant with this. We don't make that list public, though.
So we're not adding a huge cost or some type of something that's never been there before. This is already there. It's just clean enough.
Not all buildings. I'm saying we have a great deal of them are compliant with it if we would adopt it today. And the cost of these are somewhere in the area of about 200, depending on what model they purchase, you're in the area, ballpark area of about $220 up to, you can get really expensive ones depending on how much you want to spend, but the cheaper ones, the lower end models are about $220.
So this is any building with a sprinkler system or a security alarm?
Yes. Well, not security alarm. Smoke alarms, any alarmed building with sprinkler system or smoke alarm system
okay.
in it.
And you have an approximate number of how many are out of compliance?
I can tell you how many are in compliance. And those numbers that we have in that, I would have to give to you a later date. Chris has those locked up because we do not make the Knox box, per Knox box requirements.
Right, right.
We don't make those, and so those businesses that have them are under lock and key. We don't.
I just meant, I mean, is it, you said there's 95% of people are compliant, so are we talking?
Of all the businesses we go to anymore, Ben, that we get alarms to, most of them have these in place. And so when I say a 95%, I would, just from the alarms that I've made, we get easy access into those buildings because they have Knox box systems on them. We've been offering this program since early to mid-90s. And so since then, most of the buildings have already picked them up.
Mm-hmm. So if you would have to get those in compliance within the year, it's not unreasonable for your department to be able to handle a handful of, I mean, it's not more than a handful that are out of compliance that would have to comply within that year.
Right. And they're going to have, I'm not going to say that's even going to, whenever we get the fire inspector up and running, it would be when he gets to their building, whether he discovers whether they're in compliance with the ordinance or not, or the code, if he has to use this. But if we don't adopt this one, he'll just have to go off the code, and then there's just going to have to be a lot of research done for every building he goes to make sure that they're in compliance.
Does that go back to original construction date, or if an addition's put on, or?
We're going to have to be with the building department, find out when they drew a building permit. If there was significant remodeling done, then it would have to also be brought into compliance from that date. That's why some of the dates also get fuzzy.
Yeah. Okay.
But the penalty for this is $50 a day for non-compliance?
That brings it into compliance with the rest, or brings it right into where our other ordinances for our fire stuff is. I when we had Marsha draw this up, we wanted to be consistent with the other fire codes.
Now this may be a dumb question, but it says when you're constructing a new building, you should comply immediately. Now is that, what does that mean?
That
once the building's constructed and ready for occupancy?
When they get their occupancy permit, they would be required to have one on or in their building.
Okay, so it wouldn't be at the point they apply for the building permit. It would be at the point it's ready to be occupied.
Correct.
Okay. And they're going to know this once they start the construction process, that this is something they have to do.
Chris will go over and talk to Craig, and we're going to give the forms to Craig as well, so that Craig's aware of the requirement. And then we're just going to include this through the whole building process so that they're aware this is part of your building procedure.
So it'd just be something Craig would need to sign off on when he does his final inspection that, yeah, you have this. So it wouldn't be a surprise that, oh, you don't have this Knox box and you haven't had it for 10 weeks.
Right.
Here's a fine for...
Right. Well, and you got 30 days to comply. So when we say it's $30 per day per violation, if Chris finds that you don't have a Knox box on your building, you have 30 days to correct or to make action to correct. And then as long as he sees that you got one on order or whatever, you got that.
Okay.
Any further questions? And I have a motion.
Make a motion. We approve ordinance 2014-3 on first reading.
Second.
I have a motion by Ben, second by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor of moving forward? Should sign and is approved of those present. We'll back up to the beginning. The top of the order list out. We have a gentleman here that Nicole brought along with us about bringing up an issue of weight limits on a road. Nicole?
I think I'll just let Jeremiah, it's Mr. Chandler, explain it. If you want to come up here.
Jeremiah, you want to come up? Thanks, Tom.
What I'm talking about is there's a weight limit from Tower View. It's 5 tons. And I just want to move that down to Golden Avenue, not opening it up to any traffic just so I can get to my house. Because I've been parking on Short Street, across the field there, and I'm blocking trucks from turning there. And I'm just barely, I mean, about double, but I'm about 18,000 pounds. And my neighbors don't like me. We know that. So I don't want to be a thorn to anyone, but I'm trying to acquire this business. And I'd like to bring my truck home. I mean, it's not going to be a loaded vehicle ever. And it's not going to be heavy traffic. It's just once a day home, go to work. That's all I'm asking.
So everything you haul would be dropped off before you bring
it home? Yeah, because I'm actually contracted to Menards. So I go there, pick up, and then I'll, like, bring stuff to people's houses, businesses. I can't ever bring nothing home. Because then I wouldn't have
Kelly, is there a reason why we have the weight limit in place out there on that portion of the road?
Yeah, because that was put in place probably 50 years ago. I don't know. I mean, that's, all these were established, you know, a long time ago. New subdivisions, I think, were posted.
I didn't know if it was infrastructure possible problems or if it was. I know we had a situation not exactly like this, but similar on the west side of town this past winter, where there was a semi parking on the road. But that, that's what I say, it's a little different, but yet, you know, there's a weight limit situation, and he ended up parking his truck at another location and then coming back. So I mean, this is problematic to me, because if we allow this one and we don't allow the other one, I'm not saying I don't agree with what you're doing. I really respect what you're trying to do, but how do we allow one and not allow another? That's one of my situation that I'm looking at. I don't know what everybody else is thinking, but I know the situation on the other hand was they were parking on the street and it potentially broke down the curbs and the roadway.
Well, I think they're put in place just to try to discourage, you know, that semis or things like that down on the public roadways, on local roads. You know, there was mention in here that there's school buses and garbage trucks and city utility trucks and things like that that are over the 5-ton limit, but we're providing service to the public. Garbage trucks are providing service to the public and sort of school buses.
And the current ordinance exempts some vehicles from the ordinance anyway, vehicles that are dropping off or delivering to the house. I think one of the problems with moving the sign to Golden is if any semi could come off Tower View then and go down Hannah and then suddenly be stuck in a 5-ton weight limit with nowhere to go.
A sign that says no through trucks or, you know, local delivery could stop that. And I just wanted to add that Warner's is set up where all the truckers have to come in on Hannah and not Short Street, because the way the parking lot is set up, and they even have a sign that says no trucks from Short Street. So I mean, yeah, they break out daily.
I was going to agree. I was wondering where alcohol used to be and how do those trucks go down Hannah and turn into that if that limit's official from Tower View on.
Yeah.
Do you park on the street or?
No, I have off street parking at my house.
So if it were lifted and you could get to your house, you'd be parking off the street,
yes.
Not on the street.
And my drive is maybe 50 feet from theirs. I mean, it's pretty commercial, but it's not you know, I have property lines on commercial property, but also residential. I'm not trying to bother anybody. I just want to come home.
And your property is zoned residential? Or you don't know? Okay, that's fine.
My wife takes care of all that.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't be running a business out of that. You're just parking your truck there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm in my own business, but no, well, I won't be running freight out of there.
Yeah.
No. No. Just paperwork.
Well, I'm not really sure what. This isn't going to be an overnight thing, just so you know that, because no, I think there'll be a change in the ordinance and everything that we have to go through, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think what we will do is we'll table it to the next meeting and let us, you know, look at this, evaluate a little deeper, and then see, you know, then we can come up with probably a better decision once we take a look at this out there. Because I know I want to drive out again and we'll take a look at that area see, you know, if this is a viable solution or not. I mean, like I said, it's hard for me to go ahead and grant permission for one person and not somebody else, and I mean, that's not right. Maybe
this continues to come up. Maybe we should take a serious look at why the roads are limited. I mean, if there's legitimate reasons that they're limited in weight, then that's fine. If it's something that we did 50 years ago because we could, maybe we should reconsider it, but I think that's really where we should go, is to find out really why are they limited to five tons, and if they should be, they should be.
Well, I think the main reason from when we researched this on the other situation, the main reason was of the probability of semis parking on the city streets and busting up by the curbs.
Mm-hmm.
That was the primary reason back in the day.
But I think he's talking about parking off the street.
Right.
Right.
So I think the situation before was a little different than this one, in that
he was parking off the street until we had all the snow.
Yeah.
And that's when he wasn't able to get back. He wasn't able to park back behind his garage like he normally was.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there was a couple of extenuating circumstances with that situation that caused a problem of parking on the street.
But if it's a parking issue, then we can regulate parking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's different than regulating a vehicle going down the roadway. If there's a legitimate reason that a vehicle more than 5 tons shouldn't go down the roadway,
like if the roadway's going to collapse,
or there's nowhere for them to turn, or it's going to interfere with the vehicular traffic because the road's so small, whatever the reason may be, that's legitimate. But if we're continuing on with this ordinance because of a reason that we're not really sure, that we're just guessing, then we should take a serious look at, is it needed? And if it's needed, I guess what I'm saying is maybe it should go to the traffic committee and they should decide whether this is an ordinance that still needs to be in effect. And if it does, that's fine. But if not, then we should take a look at it.
You got any additional comments, Keller? Not more than what you already added?
I mean, his point was the average garbage truck's 33,000 pounds and they travel every street, you know. I realize that. They're providing a service for everybody in town. They kind of have to run the streets. And our streets are holding up. I mean, I'm not worried about our streets caving in, if that's what the concern is. It's just that for some reason they were put into place, and I didn't have anything to do with it, but they're already in the ordinance. So I guess if you can find a reason why you want to lift it because they don't need to be in place, then that's your call.
Does that, do you know if that's a town-wide or is it section by section?
It's just
like we do with stop signs.
There's just a list of streets in here that are, you know, 5-ton
limits.
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to go way back, I guess, and probably figure out why they picked certain ones and why some of them aren't. I guess I don't have a real good answer. And I think it got brought up before when Bill had this over on Market Street.
But that's my point, though, is if it maybe whenever the ordinance was written, and I'm not sure when that was, but whenever it was written,
there was
they probably had a legitimate reason for doing it. My question is does that reason still exist? And if it does, then we have an answer. If there's a legitimate reason why there's a weight limit on these roads, then we have an answer.
Right. But if there's not, then we should reconsider why the ordinance exists. Well,
talking to a couple of people that's been around a while, one was the road, you know, breaking down the roads, and the other one was they didn't want semis parking on the side streets. Because in the wintertime, some of them left them running all night long, which obviously disturbed the neighbors.
And, but that would be a parking issue.
Right.
It's easily
to. You're just going to hand it to another problem, to another ordinance, to another community. But I think that was part of the.
If they get to travel and work with the streets and decide that they're going to make a turn, you know, on a tight street, and they're wiping out poles and signs, and, you know, I guess maybe that's deterring them with the 5 ton.
But if you've already got some of the businesses violating it all the time now, then I agree with Bill. It's something that maybe we should just look at and just investigate.
Probably the committee, I think Bill's right, just have the whatever it is, parking or whatever.
Traffic committee. Yeah. Don't you have, isn't there a traffic or street committee or a traffic committee?
I think it's parking committee.
Yeah, parking committee?
Maybe just to have
if there's legitimate reasons, and I'm for that, but if we're just doing it because we've done it for 50 years, then there's an issue with that too. But
I agree it should be looked into, but you have to understand it's not going to be an overnight thing. It's not going to happen.
Well, I want to tell you also, the only reason I was asking is because I don't, when I leave or I come through town, be it I park, I left my trailer over there at Wells and Sons a couple weeks ago because I needed to work on the truck. I took the truck to my house, you know, give it the inspection I needed to do and everything. Going that way, I can go down by the dairy barn. There's no weight limit. And this street that goes to it, I don't know. But I can turn there. And that's not a weight-limited road to there because of the old factory, you know. But there's a weight limit right there at my street, you know. I'm not saying, you know, maybe just that access because I don't want to see semis sitting. And I've been in those situations. It's not pretty. And it is hard to get turned around, but I'm also not a full-size semi. I mean, my trailer's 30 foot long. My truck, it turns like a lawnmower. Honestly.
But well, like I said, I think we'll research this a little further, and we'll try to come up with a little better answer for you. Hopefully, the next meeting, we'll perhaps take it to the Parks Committee, too.
Yeah.
So it might even possibly be a month from now, quite honestly, before we can find some type of a workable solution in this situation. But appreciate you coming in and bringing it to our attention, and you know, it might open up a whole new can of worms. Can of worms, quite honestly.
Yeah.
So we'll take it under advisement.
Thank you.
See where we go with it.
Thank you.
We can look to the ordinance book, and whenever there's been some amendments, look in the minutes to see why they amended it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's good, because every time we discuss this, we just we talk Point about it. What we think the reason was, and we don't really have a legitimate reason.
All right, I think, do we have anything else before I jump to department report?
Not on this.
Okay. I know that's what I kept trying to close the meeting last time. When we
I know.
Having something to it. Department reports. Mark. Gotcha. I waited until I made sure you were talking before I started. Department reports.
Okay. Start off here. Just a reminder, on April 19th, will be a fishing derby back at the park, Morrison Park. DNR put the trout in there. So there'll be 200 trout back there for that event. And that's still moving along on US 30. We're on a bridge there, so they're working up above Mount Chiley 30, crossing over to one lane. Kentucky Sand will be ready to go. The first game start next Monday with the high school game. all of the bathrooms are open now, so water's on, ready to go.
Hopefully we really appreciate that.
Hopefully the line don't freeze next week. We are going to drain and clean the pool this morning. We'll have to probably touch it up again when we actually fill it. We're not going to fill it yet, but just kind of get ahead so that when the water breaks and we're mowing it, we won't have so much to do later. The gardeners are having a kickoff on April 22nd in the pavilion. It's kind of a nice night to get started this year, having a meal for them. And then the riverbank was the other thing, which I talked about at Board of Works. There's two sections now that are following in. And we talked to Board of Works about closing that section of the trail and continue working on getting quotes for the whole thing, continues to fall in. And then also finding out where the tank left and the pavement would come from.
Any questions of Mark?
Yeah.
Kelly?
We started out our monthly limit I've got for the year. We put a crew on each side of town to make things go a little quicker just because of the amount of stuff left over from last year that we didn't get to because of snow hit or anything. Sean let us borrow their chipper and a truck, which was a huge help. And we were able to get everything done as of today. And we had 8 loads total the whole time. Graded all the stone alleys last week. They were in pretty bad shape after the winter thawing and stuff. We'll probably look at those again in the next couple weeks just to see if we can go through them again and grade them up. We have roughly five manholes and catch basins that have some holes forming around them that we're going to be working on with the jet machine, trying to get those fixed. We're working on cleaning up the cemetery as of this week. We need to get down there probably tomorrow, the rest of the week, and start cleaning all that up and getting ready for mowing season. And continuing sewer inspections out at Lincoln Point and kind of come to a halt at Cambridge Crossing, but they'll be starting back up there after Lincoln Point. We'll be back out there. And also Chesapeake Landing, seeing a set of plans come in, I think, for the final section of Chesapeake that will connect the two dead end roads right now back there. We'll also be running a sweeper as much as we can probably next week. And leaf mulch is done and ready for the public. It got ground up Friday. I took the loader back there and the grinder finally made it in, and we had some problems keeping the grinder running, but finally about noon I think he got it up and running and was able to get everything ground up, and I stayed over till 4 to finish it. And, public's just going to have to work with the construction crew back there. I think the schedule's kind of after 5 o'clock through the week they can get back there to get the mulch. And then I think they're coordinating Mark's wife's soccer as far as the weekends. So that's all I have at this time.
Questions of Kelly?
Just a comment. I think the alleys look a lot better than they were. It's a huge improvement.
Mr. Walker.
As you know, the GIS coordinator will be leaving us next week. And with the application deadline, we received 7 applications. I only had a chance to review a couple of them, but I did ask Brad to look at them. I don't know, did you get a chance? Okay. Brad indicated that out of the 7, that 6 are definitely qualified. So, hopefully later this week, Sean and Brad and I can sit down and compare notes. Had a pre-construction meeting today on the Southside Stormwater Project with Ironclad Excavating and GAI. We invited the water department, but they snuffed their nose at us and went, we were bad. And Kelly and Corey showed up. They're actually looking to bring a crew in later this week, do some potholing, and then get material on site and get kicking. So I hate to use Mark's term, but I am excited about getting this going. It's going to benefit the area and definitely needed down there. The comprehensive plan, the firm has been selected tentatively. I've requested for them to put together a compensation package for us to begin the negotiation process. I was also informed by the grant administrator for the OCRA grant that the committee has not completed their tasks. You've still got more scoring that you've got to do. So it was supposed to have been done for the interview. You forgot to give it to me. So it'll be coming out later this week. I met with representatives of the Whitley County Redevelopment Commission last week to talk to them about reliability and condition of our sewer infrastructure out in the TIF corridor, pretty much specifically around the SDI into about 350 east area. And what I'd like to do is to collaborate with them to have a study done to, we've got some pretty significant deterioration of our system out there, and we need to stay on top of it before it gets ahead of us. So I've been talking to them about that. 205 project, we still have a couple of properties to get the acquisition for the project, working on that. Also have a quarterly report due this week for it, and I also am required to put together a work plan for the water and sanitary sewer for the project. Redevelopment Commission today approved to put out proposals, received proposals for the demolition of the former Eagles Lodge property. So I'll be doing that this week as well. That's it.
Question is from Mr. Walker. Next up, I don't know if everybody knows, Mr. Shoda is I figure Mr. our mayor should be introducing him, but at this point in time, he is here, and Mr. Shoda is going to be our new water superintendent. And we won't put you on the spot for a department report because
I don't have it.
He doesn't have it yet. So, but welcome to the meeting. We appreciate you taking the time to be here. And so, welcome to the city family, so to speak. So, Mr. Leckie.
Well, we had just our standard operations over the last couple of weeks. We've been with the rain and the wet conditions. It's hard to get out a whole lot. We did get one service motored in. We're kind of holding off for the rain to stop a little bit now. We did continue the stump grinding for tree removal. That process is going to take a little while with the weather not cooperating right now, but we did get a few of those done. We're excited to have that project finished here in a month or so. I also wanted to call attention to something, an official proclamation that Mayor Daniel has signed. Friday, April 18th, has nationally been declared Lineman Appreciation Day, and the mayor has signed a proclamation for Lineman Appreciation Day here in Columbia City on that same day. I'd like to just give my guys a little bit of a recognition for the hard work they do and going out in the storms and taking sometimes taking their own safety, compromising their own safety and getting people's power back on. I'd like to just take a second and read the proclamation from the mayor. Whereas the profession of lineman is steeped in personal, family, and professional tradition, and the linemen are often first responders during storms and other catastrophic events, working to make the scene safe for other public safety heroes and linemen work. And whereas linemen work with thousands of volts of electricity atop power lines 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to keep electricity flowing, and whereas linemen must often work under dangerous conditions far from their families to construct and maintain the energy infrastructure of the United States, and whereas linemen put their lives on the line every day with little recognition from the community regarding the danger of their work, therefore, Ryan Daniel, Mayor of Columbia City, do hereby proclaim April 18, 2014 as Lineman Appreciation Day, and encourages the citizens of this community to recognize the efforts of linemen in keeping power on and protecting public safety. And I just appreciate the mayor for taking the time to do that. I'm going to have my guys together the day before that and have a little luncheon and just thank the guys for their hard work. You guys are all welcome April 17th. We're having a lunch about 12 o'clock, so anyone is welcome to come out. Pop in, say hi, thank the gentleman. So that's all I have.
Any questions? Mr. LaRue.
Just to give you a summary of some things that are going to be happening here in the near future. Friday, Mike McGregor, myself, and Toby Fralick will be traveling to Indianapolis for Fire Department Instructors Conference. Ben, I think you went last year. Mm-hmm. There's some equipment and some updates that we'd like to go take a look at. They're offering for accountability systems and things like that. So we will be traveling Friday. The 14th, Doug Reed and myself will be going to either Angola or Auburn. I'd have to look at the paperwork again. For a train safety class that's going to be put on by CSX. So that'll be the evening of the 14th. And am I allowed to make the announcement?
I don't think you should.
Huh?
I don't think you should yet.
Okay.
I don't know.
Fair enough. Disregard. Other than that, there's a lot of training going on. The 24th of May, the Sprinkler Fitters has offered to put on a training for our department and all our county departments on sprinkler systems, and that's going to be in Plymouth. They're going to have their national sprinkler trailer there. They'll do a four-hour classroom on how sprinkler systems operate and all the different valves and things that are on them, and then have a hands-on afterwards. So that'll be in Plymouth on the 24th of May. There's a lot of things going on. So.
Any questions at all?
You found great humor in that, didn't you, Bill?
Marcia.
I just think it's really.
Nothing.
Rosie?
Okay. Couple things. One of the things was I wanted to go back to the Greenway. The Greenway. Because
okay.
It is such an emergency, did you get permission to go ahead and get it fixed?
The mayor wanted to get it fixed right away.
Right. And the funding, that was one of the things I was going to bring up, but now Stormwater might be paying for it. So, my question is, can we go ahead and let him go ahead and get it fixed, and the mayor and I'll decide... I mean, if it comes out of the one fund, we have to come back for additional appropriations. And then, but we really need that. He needs to get something done.
Right. Well, the problem I have, though, is if we fix those two spots and more of it deteriorates, I mean...
And I understand
is
that
be
because
an endless
originally I told him, well, we need to build a little extra money in this funding. And then the next thing he knows, there's more gone.
Right.
But
wasn't there discussion a few couple of meetings ago about having the bank fixed or supported or I mean a large project?
Well, I thought that was the very first hole, right?
The first one.
Yeah.
Morris Cave in over again.
Right, but I thought that there was some thought of doing extensive work to the bank, not just.
Oh,
a section. Is that
a
not the case?
A lot of spots along the road in Washington Park even that need to get looked at. They haven't paid them or
so. What you're looking for us is to make a motion to approve funding for your and the mayor's direction.
Yeah,
so we can move
back
forward with this. get this done on an emergency basis.
Yeah, we will come back with you with where it's coming from, and if we have to get additional appropriations, it'll be published, but...
Will that be need to be a motion made or a...
I think, since it's an emergency, that it needs to be...
I'll make a motion that we go ahead and allow the greenway to be fixed, and with the stipulation that the mayor and Rosie will come back to us before any money is approved.
I'd like to add to that.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to amend your motion, but...
I'll amend.
I would like to, I mean, when you're looking at this, look at the whole picture, so we're not just plugging a hole, like he's saying. I mean, obviously, if there's a hole there and it's a safety hazard, that needs fixed. But if we're just going to have to tear it up and redo it 6 months from now, to me, that doesn't, you know...
Well, I don't plan on what's going to be repaired having ripped out and fixed again. The only additional thing that could happen is another section falls in. And there's a section between these two that I don't know how long it'll stay there. But if it doesn't get fixed, the likelihood of that falling in sooner, I think, is greater. Then if the waters go up again, I think that could fall in. But if we support the other two areas, it might be okay.
Yeah, I mean, is this what we're doing now? Is it a short-term fix, or 2 years from now we're going to have to do it again?
We believe it's going to be a long-term fix.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got that first.
So yeah. So in other words, you really should have maybe whoever was going to do it really check along that whole bank. You're talking.
Yeah.
That area.
Right. I mean, when you're looking at this, look at the rest of it and see how much more. Because maybe if that's the case, we hold off extending the trail and use some of that money to fix our existing trail.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we've already appropriated money to extend the trail.
All right, now that's a... We have a really long motion there.
Yeah, I think I got it.
Okay. I'll give you a second.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Or extend it more.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Show sign for approval. She ran it with Lewis present.
I don't have anything else unless you're going to bring up why the mayor's not here. You're going to bring that up? Or why the mayor's not here?
Oh, the mayor's, yeah. I'm here in this position tonight because the mayor's a brand new baby girl who was born. 8 pounds.
12 ounces.
12 ounces, so. Big baby girl. And he's home helping. Mother take care of that, so that's an awesome time for him. So I have nothing. Ben?
Nothing.
Nicole?
Nothing.
Bill?
Nothing.
Anybody in the media audience? Nothing. This meeting is adjourned.